Hey guys, welcome to episode 97 of Inside the Cage. We're back for another week of top class MMA review and chat. Big Mark's with me as always. How are you, mate?
I'm good, my man. How's you?
Aye, good, mate. Good. All right. Knackered, man, but other than that, I'm all good.
Time is a killer, and thank you. As you get older, you just get tired and tired and tired.
Yeah. It's hard to recover from the tiredness, as things. Sometimes sleeping just isn't enough.
No, even at a weekend, you ain't you? I do a couple of good sleep at a weekend or something like that, and then you still end up feeling like shit all week, so.
Yeah.
That's life, isn't it, man?
Exactly, exactly. Did you enjoy Super Bowl 55 last night?
I didn't enjoy it as much as I was hoping I would. I'm not fussed at the Bucks won or anything like that, or that the Chiefs get beat, because I'm not really a fan of either. I just love watching Patrick Mahomes, and because we never really got to see the best of him, that was probably what disappointed me more than anything else. But that's fair play to the Bucks defense, because it was fucking unbelievable.
The clips I've seen, every clip I've seen was him getting sacked.
To be fair, it was like a 75% the Bucks defense was unbelievable, and it was like 25% that the Chiefs offense was, see the offensive line. Jesus Christ, man. Honestly, they couldn't stop water going by them. It was fucking horrendous. It was so bad. It was really poor, man.
It's pretty difficult for me, right, because see, when it comes to American sports, I don't ever really support one team, but the Bucks have always been quite a special one in my heart, because first place we ever went in America when I was a kid was was Florida, and we went to Tampa, and I had a Tampa Bay Bucks t-shirt, and I had that for years, man, until I was fucking like a teenager, and it didn't fit anymore, right, because obviously, you know, a wee bit chunkier than I used to be, right, but I've always had a soft spot for him, but I hate Tom Brady. So
I've got a bit more respect for Brady now than I ever did before, because I hated the Patriots machine, as it was. They're just the machine that just kind of runs over every day, or just it, and it was boring. It felt like it had no personality for me at times. There was nothing different.
It was the same. It was robotic.
Aye, and I didn't really fancy it. It didn't really do anything for me, and it got a massive hatred for the Patriots. I still hate the Patriots. It's just a team that everybody hates. Nobody likes the Patriots. But now that he's done what he's done and done that in his first season and created a team, and he's basically coaching his own offensive line. He's basically coaching the team. His offensive
side.
Aye, on
the field. Aye, but then again, you've got to think he took those two guys with him. So obviously Gronk came out of a retirement, so it's almost the same thing. It's not a full offensive line. It's the same as the Pats, but he's got his two good guys with him. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know, mate. Like I was so chuffed that the Bucks won it, to be honest. But I mean, I'm not a massive fan of Brady, mate. I'm not a massive fan of people who dominate things, as you know. It's why I don't like guys like Lewis Hamilton and stuff like that. I don't like guys who are just dominant. I just don't think, I think it's boring, which is hypocritical as fuck, because I love Roger Federer, but anyway.
That's true, actually.
But then again, see the thing with Roger Federer, he always was close. It was always like him and Nadal and him and Djokovic. It was never really, like, he wasn't like, you know, beating everybody in three sets, stuff like that, you know what I mean? But nah, it was good, man. I'm glad I never got to see it. I was working this morning at 4, unfortunately, so I couldn't step and watch it, but.
Oh, fuck, man. I was fucking knackered last night, honestly. I'm surprised I got to 3 o'clock, but really was. No. I think he got to about 3 minutes to go, and I thought, fuck this, I've got my bed, I'm never going to win this now.
Well done to fucking Tom Brady, by a mile, probably the greatest ever, I would imagine now.
Yeah, I think they kept talking about it, and it was so good that if Mahomes had beaten them last night, there was a chance that he could probably still catch him up on Super Bowls, because it would have been like 6-2. But it's now 7-1, and I think the only see Mahomes is probably the closest thing they're ever going to get to a Brady, and I can't see him ever get anywhere near that. Now, that's the seven's just, that's unbelievable. But anyway, fair play to him, man, honestly.
Yeah. Anyway, that little tangent took a lot longer than what I thought it would.
I like to talk about it, mate. It's always good to talk about.
Most interesting thing about fucking Tom Brady, have you seen his scouting report from when he first got drafted?
No.
See, if you Google that, I've seen it on Twitter. You know what pick he was, don't you?
It was like 240th or something. Something
199th pick, and it said he had very limited ability, couldn't throw a good spiral ball, had no control over his offense, was too small, wasn't quick enough, and you just think, man, look at that. There was all these things that they listed was wrong with him, and he's basically the best player ever. It's mental, man. Absolutely mental.
Fair play to him, mate. Fair play.
Exactly. Right, let's get a move on. We've got a fair bit to talk about tonight. So run through the show, guys. We'll do a wee bit on two Volkov versus Overeem. Look at 258. We'll have a wee look back at ONE Championship. There was a couple of things at ONE Championship that we're talking about from the weekend. And then Marky Boyle run through any talking points from the news this week, including fight announcements and stuff like that. That's what we'll do. So let's just go straight in and start with Volkov versus Overeem. UFC Fight Night 184, UFC on ESPN Plus 42, and UFC Vegas 18 back at the Apex in the small octagon, which I absolutely love, by the way. Every time we go back to that, I absolutely adore the small octagon.
Best thing ever, mate. Really,
it's amazing, mate. It's amazing. I don't know if it makes that much difference, but absolutely brilliant, man. But so, Alexander Volkov, mate.
Mate, he looks like a different animal. He looks like a different human being, man. The size of him, I know he said in kind of his VTs and stuff like that before the fight, and I watched a bit of that, and he's like, I went away, I've worked on my strength, I got my conditioning coach working on power and speed and stuff like that, and he always had the skill level. He's a very good boxer, he always was, but as much as maybe he's got a lot of knockouts and that in his record, he wasn't really a massive, he wasn't a killer, he wasn't an Ngannou where you expect him maybe to just take your head off. But I can see that in Volkov now, mate. He's fucking solid and it's brilliant to see. It really was. His skill level is just off the scale, without doubt. He's arguably the best boxer within that division. So now he's added that power and that strength to that. It just makes him fucking maybe even more dangerous.
It's mental to think, because also we've given him maybe a bit of a bad rap. But you know, he's an ex-champ with Bellator. He was there.
Bellator champ, I know. I think because at times he always got kind of railroaded maybe with wrestlers and stuff like that. He doesn't have the best record against kind of a more wrestling style of fighter, and I think that cost him at times. Don't know if he's fixed it kind of thing. He's never really seen it against Reem. I really expected Reem to maybe try and get a few more, try and move one more takedowns, but it never happened. I was so disappointed in Alistair over him. I really was, man.
He's been talking a big game, mate. He's been talking a big game, saying basically that, you know, he's going to make one last run. He knows things against him. He's going to do it. He's got the passion. And it didn't look like he had any of that, to be honest. It just looked like he was a wee bit lost. And I wouldn't have said Volkov was utterly outstanding. He was much, much improved than what I've seen in his last few fights, especially if you look back at the Hardy fight, right? But I wouldn't have said he was utterly outstanding here and Overeem hadn't got a chance. I think if Overeem had actually lifted his level a wee bit, there may have actually been a chance for him to have a good fight against Volkov.
Last week was quite good against the guy in Harris last couple of fights. Like, he was decent. He looked a lot better. He looked, after that loss to Rosen Strike, he looked done after Rosen Strike.
Aye.
He really did. And he obviously went away and worked on a few things and looked so much better. And I thought Harris, Sakai, decent performances for Overeem, but so disappointed, man. I was kind of gutted as well, because he's a good guy, man. You'd like to see him maybe hold that title at some point, but it just looks so new. It's an impossible dream.
Possible dream, very good. It'll probably go down as one of the best to never win the belt, to be honest, mate, which is a shame.
That's maybe something we'll do one week. We've not got an event or something like that. We'll do about fighters who have never won the belt, and you've got a few, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a cowboy as well and stuff like that. There's a few fighters out there, and he's definitely on that list.
Yeah, he definitely is, mate. Obviously, he was trying to make a run for the title and stuff like that. He made it quite clear. What is next for these two guys? What does it do for these two guys overall, mate?
Volkov, it puts him one fight away for a title fight.
Just one?
I think so. I think after the performance, as much as Overeem was poor, I still think it was a pretty good performance. And I think they're always looking for new blood within that division. Obviously, it depends what happens after with Miocic afterwards as well. You've got Blades in there. Blades wants his shot. You've got Cyril Gane versus Rosenstrike coming up. That could be an interesting one. So, I don't know what happens. Maybe has Volkov faced Blades before? I wonder maybe if that's a fight to make. I can't actually remember if he's faced him previously.
I don't think so, mate, to be honest.
I dare he lost to him. Last June. It was after the Hardy fight.
Aye, because he wrestle-fucked him.
Aye, and that's maybe the only other fight to wait, because for me, Blades deserves a shot. If it wasn't for Ngannou being there, Blades would be fighting Miocic for that title.
But then Blades is probably willing to wait for the winner of Miocic and Ngannou, and he probably should. There's no point in him giving up his chance by maybe fighting somebody else.
That's the thing, isn't it? But it depends on maybe...
Are Derek Lewis and Blades not fighting in a couple of weeks?
No, did they not fight previously? I can't remember now.
It's hard to keep track of. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Curtis Blades is fighting Derek Lewis pretty soon.
Aye, 20th. We're supposed to face last November. Remember, we're supposed to fight in November.
Aye.
Get scrapped because Blades tested positive for coronavirus. That's what it was.
I knew they were fighting, mate. So, I mean, it ties them all up. I suppose it's a difficult one because Volkov's kind of now stuck in a place where the four guys above him are all fighting each other.
Yeah, true. So, doesn't he put one fight away for a title shot? It puts possibly two, maybe even three, but seems a bit harsh.
Does it maybe, I mean, obviously, right, let's play it out, right? Ngannou versus Miocic, that happens, whatever. Blades versus Lewis. Blades wins, he gets a title shot. If Lewis wins, technically Lewis gets a title shot, to be fair. That's almost like a number one contender. That's almost like an interim belt fight, to be honest. That. So what about Volkov versus the winner like Gani and Rosenstreich then?
Yeah, possibly. But then how long are we going to have to wait for that?
Fuck knows, because they're not fighting soon as well.
I can't remember. It's soon, but I can't remember how soon. I think it's probably March or something like that. I don't know where it leaves Volkov. It's a difficult one for him. He's a bit in kind of no man's land, and as you said, with the four guys fighting, that just kind of screws everything up for him.
Rosenstreich and Gani is the 27th of February, mate, so you know, Blades and Lewis are similar. Maybe it could be like, well, there you go, there's the plan, fuck it, we've done it now. Blades, if he beats Lewis, fights the winner of Ngannou, and on the same card you have Volkov versus the winner of Gani versus Rosenstreich. There you go, tell you now, that's what's happening.
Well, I would say that if Blades beats Lewis, Blades is straight away title.
That's what I said.
Aye. But if Lewis beats Blades, I don't think Lewis goes straight in for the title.
Why not?
Don't know. I think he's been there. He's failed previously. I really don't know, but possibly that doesn't set him up for a title shot. I think as good as winning Blades is, I don't know if it does. I don't know, mate. It's difficult to see. It's a weird division. But you can see Ngannou drop Miocic, and Miocic straight away goes, right, well, I want my fucking rematch.
Yeah.
So that could hold up the division for another 6-7 months. So you just don't know, mate. It's a difficult one with that division and where things are, especially, as I said, if Ngannou drops Miocic, that makes it 1-1. There's a possibility to make a trilogy fight there, isn't there, as such? So
I can't see that happening.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you there. I fancy Miocic to win it, but fuck. You could have Miocic beating Ngannou, and Miocic goes, well, fuck it, I'm going up there on top, and fucks off. Then what do you do?
Aye, because then you can't have Ngannou having a shot straight away.
So would it be Blades versus Volkov?
Or Blades versus... Aye, fuck. Fuck, who knows, man?
Do you know what I mean? Or you could have Blades versus the winner and Rosenstreich and Gani, I don't know, mate. It's a weird division. You don't know how things are going to go. It's not as if we've got a champion who's in his mid-20s and he's going to go for the next 5-10 years. I think literally at any moment, Miocic could just go, well, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So, I'd be interested to see how that division goes forward. It's good to see there's some good, decent blood in there. A good 6 or 7 fighters in there. Guys who aren't really that old when you think about it. You look at Blades, you look at Volkov, Gani, Rosenstreich, they're not ancient.
All young guys, mate, coming through, exactly.
So you could have them kind of playing things out for the next 3 or 4 years, maybe smashing the belt a bit between them, and it could make it quite interesting.
Again, it would be good, mate, to see these guys swapping the belt every other couple of months, mate. It'd be absolutely brilliant, because it's what you want. It's why I'm so gutted about Jan Blachowicz, but that's something else we can talk about later, but interesting to see how things develop in that division, mate. It could potentially be quite interesting, though. There's some exciting matchups there, and there's exciting times ahead, depending on who wins what, you know. But yeah,
it's a bit like the light heavyweight division, or it was a bit like the heavyweight division. Yeah. When Jones stepped aside, it made it really interesting. And it's good if Miocic maybe beats Ngannou and steps aside, and then it could really make this division interesting. It really could.
I know it's a really unpopular opinion, right? But the best thing that could happen for the light heavyweights is if Jan Blachowicz smashes Adesanya.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. I wouldn't see that as a bad thing for the light heavyweight division, no. Definitely not.
I know you'll struggle with that yourself because you like him, but...
Yeah, I'm a massive fan, mate. I can't... I'm a fanboy.
Mm-hmm. Right, back to Saturday's card. And without a doubt, so far, the KO of the year from Mr. Corey Sandhagen.
Mate, if this gets beaten, I cannot wait to see the knockout that beats it because it is going to be fucking unreal. This was... It wasn't just the type of knockout or a luck thing or... It was just pure skill. He knew what to do. He knew what Edgar was trying to do. Bang. That's it. That's all she wrote. Good night. And it was just sensational, man. The flying knee was just absolutely sensational. That puts him right into that. He's number one contender, man. He has to fight. He has to be that man who's in that octagon next. Yeah, there's a case to say that if Aljo wins it, why should it be?
But, I mean, other than getting beat by Aljo, mate, I mean...
No, he's perfect. Look, the top three fighters in that division are Aljo, Jan, and Corey Sandhagen, without doubt. There's definitely no case to say that isn't the case. So, I kind of want to see Jan beat Aljo just to see Sandhagen, Jan, and then possibly maybe get a rematch between Aljo and Sandhagen or something like that would be interesting.
Yeah, if Sandhagen won a belt, I don't know. I think Aljo and Sterling will beat Petr Yan, but I don't know.
So do I. I'm still not sure of how good Petr Yan really is, to be honest.
Yeah.
As much as the champion and he beat Aldo, didn't he? I still don't know how good he really is.
Yeah.
Difficult. It's weird. It's a weird one with Yan because he looks so good and his record's obviously that damn good. But I still don't know. It's weird.
Who's he fought, though?
That's the thing, isn't it? You look at the two fighting. Who did he fight before Aldo? I'm trying to remember who he fought before Aldo now.
He fought Uriah Faber, Jimmy Rivera, John Dodson, Douglas Silva de Andrade, Jin Susan, and Teruto Ishihara. Mate, there's only one name there. Well, I suppose Faber, but Faber was done, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's... Well, Faber was coming back, was he not? Was that not Faber's first bout back?
And then look at Aldo. Aldo struggled at that weight, mate. He struggled to perform, you know what I mean? So it could be the fact that... I don't know, man. It's a weird one. It's very strange.
That is a strange one with Petr Yan. So, as I said, I can't wait for the Aljo fight, I think. If he beats Aljo, then yeah, definitely, without doubt, best bantamweight in the world. I haven't got an issue for that, to say that.
Yeah, well, it would be 100% because he's beat the second best bantamweight in the world, you know.
Yeah. So, but then we spoke. Who was it? We're talking about the featherweights. Max Holloway was without doubt the best featherweight in the world, but he's not a title holder right now. So, but beating Petr Yan to beat Aljamain Sterling would definitely set him up as the best bantamweight in the world.
Aye, but it's different. We're not saying that Aljamain Sterling's the best bantamweight in the world. We're not saying that. Whereas you are saying that Max Holloway. But it'll be interesting to see, mate. This discussion, these two fights, Volkov and Sandhagen, has opened up discussions about bigger things and how things are going to go forward and how the fights look going forward. It gets me excited for the year ahead, mate. Like, some of the fights that are announced already is absolutely crazy. Some of the title fights. And like somebody was saying like something like the 12 divisions they've got, 6 of the divisions... The belts are being defended in the next fucking 3 months and it's between the top 2 or 3 guys. It's absolutely crazy, man. Like,
This is what's so good about the UFC, mate. The best fight the best, without doubt. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. If you want to fight in the UFC, you've got to be the best of the best. When you get
even though the rankings are absolute utter horseshit, but at least...
I think that the rankings are poor at times, yeah, definitely, but there is an aspect within the rankings that is pretty legit. I can't deny that, and it sets up some great fights, and it's just class. It's just so good to see the best fighting the best. That's what you want. It's the same in any sport. You want to see the best face the best. The best tennis players play each other, the best football teams play each other. You don't want to sit and watch West Brom versus Fulham on a Saturday night, do you? You'd rather sit and watch Man City Liverpool or Chelsea Man United, do you know what I mean? It's best of the best, that's what you want to watch.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's what makes it so good, man, it really does. And it's set up so well for the next few months, and it can only get better, it really can.
Yeah. I guess we should talk about Clay Guida.
Mate, Clay Guida for a title shot, I'm telling you, he's getting there.
It's just relentless. He's relentless, mate. I just can't believe a guy who's had, you know, 56 fights and is 39 years old can fight like that. Like, he doesn't stop, mate. And even after it, he's jumping about trying to cuddle and he's trying to be everybody's best pal. And I'm just like, mate, just calm down. Honestly,
it was when the referee was holding his hand and he was bouncing about, man. The referee must be like, God, you fucking stop it.
And then I'm pretty sure, I don't know who it was, but remember last year he fought somebody, or the year before he fought somebody, and he was running around the octagon holding a hand in the air, remember?
Aye. I can't remember who it was. I remember that now, aye.
He's mental, mate. But listen, I'm going to say something, right? What a performance. Like, seriously, Michael Johnson's a bit younger. Michael Johnson's a lot faster, by the way. I was amazed by how fast Michael Johnson's hands are, by the way. That was legit scary.
That's what he's always had. He's always had the speed in his hands. He really has.
You also forget how, like, kind of veteran he is, but he's only 34, Michael Johnson. Do you know what I mean?
And you look at his record, but he's literally fought the best of the best, without doubt, within that division. He's literally fought everybody. He's beaten Tony Ferguson. How many people can say that?
He's one of the only people, isn't he?
Aye, he's think for well, until recently.
Mate, he beat Poirier.
Yeah, mate, honestly, Michael Johnson is legit one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, it's mental, man. I mean, his record is not great now.
But... No, he's really, at one point he was such a high level and you expected big things from him, and then he'd lose the odd fight and it put him step back. And as a striker, he is superb, man, he really is.
Yeah, it was a really good fight. I'm really impressed by Clay Guida, mate. I know we're talking about Michael Johnson there, but Clay Guida was brilliant. Ground it out. I mean, he's got a chin. I was actually wanting to check that. I meant to check it on Saturday, Sunday when I watched it. But has Clay Guida ever been knocked out? No. Only twice. In 20 losses, he's only been knocked out twice. That is absolutely ridiculous.
He's solid, mate. He really is. And as you say, the pace that he can go at, the pressure he puts on, you know how to fight. That's the kind of thing, you know, you don't stand there straight to Michael Johnson. You've got to put pressure on him, get him against the cage, fucking put him on his back. It was brilliant for Clay Guida, honestly, mate. It was just class. It was a great performance. It really was.
Do you know how I'd love to see him fight?
Who?
Diego Sanchez. Again.
Did you see us fighting Diego Sanchez?
Yeah, that's a class fight and all. But I'd love to see Clay Guida fight Diego Sanchez, man. I think that'd be absolutely brilliant. I know they fought way back in 2009, but that would be absolutely brilliant.
It's so good. I feel like the UFC have taken ideas on board of, like, a Legends title, Legends Championship. They're setting up these fights. And they've got, do I know some of these older guys? They're good to have about. They're good publicity. They actually fight really well when they fight each other.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant to see, mate. It's maybe a lot of the technical aspects maybe are not there to a lot of younger guys nowadays. Maybe they're just slightly below that level. But because they are similar ages and they were training maybe at similar times, they have got a similar level of fighting. And when you get a fight between two older guys who've got the experience and have been there and done it, it's just class, mate. You always get a good fight. You really do. And I was looking, what was I reading? The guys who have had the most fights or something like that within the UFC, there's like 8 out of the top 10 or something like that are all like kind of lightweights and kind of welterweights. You could easily make up a wee tournament, a wee Legends tournament, something like that. It would just be fucking class. It really would be. I'd love to see them do it.
I think it would be good because they're good against each other, as you say.
That's what I'm saying.
They're good against each other. And I think it would make interesting fights, man. Because that fight on Saturday, although Michael Johnson isn't a veteran and he isn't in that league, but he's experienced enough with the number of fights he's had, it was a great fight, mate. It was kind of one of those, it's one of those gutting fights, mate, that if it's scored by rounds, it's 30-27 to Clay Guida all week, right? All day, every day of the week, right? But if you score it as an actual bout, it's probably more a 29-28. It was really close. You know, it was a good fight, but, man, I thought it was brilliant. I thought Clay Guida was absolutely brilliant, man. He's absolutely sensational to watch.
He was spot on, he really was, mate.
Pantoja.
He was good, but he wasn't great. He done what he did to win the fight. I was disappointed in the boy Manuel Capi. He was quite a bit of hype about him. Obviously, like, one of my rising champions, so they expected quite a lot coming into the UFC. But he was, I think we were speaking about it previously, I think he was gun-shy, as you were saying, I think, and It was so disappointing. He was as if he was waiting, as if he thought he was in a 5-round fight and he thought he had time to actually wait there. And he didn't have 5 rounds, he had 3. And you can't start slow with a 3-round fight.
I would agree, mate. I was kind of strange with that as well. I actually picked Cappy to win because I thought he would. I thought there was a lot of hype behind him, mate, and he's a good fighter. But nah, I wasn't overly impressed with Pantoja either. It's the same thing we've had with Pantoja before. He's never really raised his level. It's a difficult one. You know what I mean? This doesn't look like he ever raises himself to... He says he wants a rematch against Figueiredo after that, and I'm sorry, after that performance, I don't think he's anywhere near that.
As I said, I think it was a decent performance. It was a good performance to beat Cappy, but with the level it was at compared to watching maybe a Figueiredo, I got him out of there in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Cappy would have been gone in a couple of minutes. I've no doubt about that if he was facing Figueiredo, do you know what I mean? So that's the difference. Pantoja's not... he's not got that killer touch. I think Kuzela fight a wee sports people is not a killer touch. Can't remember his name now. Somebody else you spoke previously with, somebody's just not got a killer touch, and he's kind of similar. He's just, you don't see that aggression really, or that kind of I'm just going to finish you and get you out of here because you're just not at my level today.
Yeah.
You don't get that. It's disappointing because I think there's a fight. There's definitely a title contender in there.
I agree. Need to try and work it out of him, that's the thing.
No, I know. I don't know what you do. I really don't know.
Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is the fight of the night, Darius versus Carlos Diego Ferreira.
Yeah, probably should have spoken about this earlier because this was fucking class, man. Without doubt, this has probably been fight of the year so far.
Yeah.
I think if you take it into the kind of test technical aspect of the fight, how close it was at times, and it was just from start to finish, it was brilliant. I'm not an issue with Darius winning the fight. I was surprised it was a split, to be honest. I thought Darius did win the fight. I think you spoke about the last Clay Guida fight being like a 29-28 over 3 rounds, but if you'd done it as rounds each, it was 30-27 type thing. I think this was kind of similar.
Yeah, I would agree. I think
probably for me, Darius won all 3 rounds, but at the same time, you could have probably gave Ferreira maybe a minute or two in each round.
Aye. So overall, it would have been maybe a 20-28. I agree 100%.
It was against very similar, very strange fight, but it was class, mate. It was a class fight. It was so good to see Darius, and I liked the way he was kind of not angry at the end in his press conference and stuff like that. In his interview, he was just a bit beat off that maybe he's not gotten respect that he deserves.
Well, I kind of do agree with him a wee bit, to be fair, mate. He's been kind of on the edge of that top 10 for ages and ages and ages, mate, and never really got the shout. I mean, he's on a 6-fight win streak now, you know what I mean? Like,
do you know who I want to see him fight?
Who?
Dan Hooker.
Oh, that'd be class.
Dan Hooker's off a bad loss. Why not?
That'd be class, mate. That'd be class. Interesting thing about that fight on Saturday night, by the way, right? One of the judges was Jaron Vallel, who's a referee. You've seen him probably. He's a baldy guy. He's a referee, which I think is a good thing, by the way. If referees are in a position to judge fights, I think that's a really, really good thing. Especially
that's a very good thing as well, aye.
The only problem I've got is that he was the guy that made that split decision.
Yeah, when I read that, I was a bit surprised, man. Are the other two judges wrong? I'll see right, and he's right. I don't know. You'd expect him to have a very good idea of what's going on within the fight, but
it's a
strange one.
Sure,
I think there was another split decision, or another decision on this card somebody made, and I was a bit surprised. Chris Lee, I think we spoke about Chris Lee before as a judge, and he made a decision. It was a bit of a strange one as well, but maybe we'll talk about that later. But it was a strange decision. It was. I was surprised. Saturday, I also gave it a 29-28 to Darius.
I want to talk about a couple of other things just before we go, just before we finish this section. Ode Osborne, way to take an opportunity, man. Like, what a KO.
Brilliant, mate. Straight down the pipe, straight down in his fucking face, and his cooping. Honestly, it was just a class knockout. It would definitely go in a kind of knockout of the month title list, the type thing. I don't think eventually by the end of the year it'll be there, but
yeah.
Definitely technique involved in that, man. Split the guard right down the middle. Fucking class, fair play. Absolutely superb knockout.
Now, We couldn't not talk. We had to leave her till last. We had to talk about Wee Molly Meatball McCann. It's so hard to watch, man, because she's fighting these lassies. She's taking these fights against grapplers. She's done it all the time. Jill Robertson was another one. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's hard, man, because she struggles. I mean, listen, I'm not saying she's not a good fighter. She is a good fighter, but do you know what I mean? Our three losses in the UFC have been against three lassies who like to rest, like grapple. Do you know what I mean?
I guess she has improved that aspect of her game quite a lot, considering where she was probably when she first came into the UFC. But against the better grapplers, she has been found out, and it was hard to watch, man. Everybody loves Meatball. You've got to love Meatball. She's so good, man. Such good entertainment and all that. And she, when she fights another striker as such, she fucking beats them. She'll beat them. Without doubt, man. And
she beat Ariane Lipsky. Do you know what I mean? So Ariane Lipsky was, it was a bit hype about Ariane Lipsky. Do you know what I mean?
Was she no former KSW champion Lipsky at the time?
So. I think so, mate. She was. She was a flyweight champ. So there was a bit of a thing about her. She'd obviously just get beat by, you know, JoJo at the time, but she still went in and actually smashed her, you know? So
she won three in a row. Do you know what I mean? She beat Kishwera as well, which is another decent one. Do you know what I mean? So.
Exactly. It's a shame, mate. It's a shame. Hopefully she dusts herself off and keeps going. Love watching her fight. She's so much tenacity and so much drive. She'll never stop going, mate, for 50 minutes.
It's the way she came out and literally just ran straight up Procopio, and you're like, well, fucking hell, what's she doing here? What's the plan now? Let's go, let's have it. That's been 2 seconds of the fight starting. Do you know what I mean? It's so good to see that aggressiveness. That's what you want to see. And yeah, as you say, hopefully she'll dust herself off and she'll go again. There's no doubt she will go again. She loves it. So,
a lot of speculation about the gloves in the ring, but that was all for her old man, for her dad.
Yeah,
I don't know. So there's no need to look into that anymore. It was actually a nice touch from her. So no need to look into that anymore. To be fair, but overall, mate, what do you rate the card? We've started rating the cards out of 5 stars, my man. What do you reckon?
I thought it was very good, mate. I really did. Because of the couple of class knockouts and stuff, like I would have it. I'd maybe even push it towards a 4.
4 star. Okay, we'll go with that.
You've got arguably knockout of the year, or possibly even maybe a fighter of the year contender on Darius.
Yeah.
And Ferreira as well. So I would say it was very good, because there's even a couple of fights we never get into, like a Choi Zalal and like the performances with Aliyev that was so good as well. So I definitely.
All right. Right, going to do a wee quick bit on ONE Championship, right, because there was a couple of things on this that were pretty, well, not spectacular, but just good. It was headlined by a fight between Aliona Rasohina, that's not bad, I'll go with that, against Stamp Fairtex. Now, that's quite clearly not her real name, which is fine, but this was a really interesting one. Like, you watched this as well, Mark, and there was basically, it was 14 minutes and 50 seconds of absolute domination from Stamp Fairtex.
Yep.
And then Aliona Rasohina grabbed her in a guillotine choke and she tapped out. Now, the tap was soft, but it was a tap.
Yeah, without doubt, it was a tap. It was, like, you could say it was soft, but there's a possibility maybe she was just about to go out as she tapped. And I don't imagine your tap would get more and more, would be fast if you're maybe just about to go out. You're losing breath. You're maybe just... It was a tap, mate. I don't think she can really have any arguments. Obviously, she wasn't happy about the situation. She was a bit annoyed about it. But for me, it was definitely a tap. It looked like a tap. If I was a referee, you kind of say it wasn't, basically. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Looking at the video.
Way to take your opportunity if you're Aliona Rasohina, because you automatically make yourself a big deal, because Stamp Fairtex is a pretty big deal. She was 5-0. By the way, just for her real name is Natawan Panthong. Panthong.
Many times you might try that. You might try again.
Nah, because it's Thai names are hard. She's also called Nong Stamp, which is awesome.
Many names does she go? Is she a fucking superhero or something?
Aye, yeah, maybe. It was interesting. But well done to Aliona Rosina taking her chance, because I say you just got to get that guillotine in and just hold on for dear life.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's all you can do. You've seen a couple of fighters do it previously and stuff like that, and getting finishes after being dominated for 15 minutes, namely Mr. Paul Craig. And you end up with a submission in the last dying seconds. So, fair play. But, she took her opportunity. She got a submission. She won the fight. Yeah. So, can't argue it.
Now, me and Mark love, absolutely love, a one-punch KO. Now, if any of you guys want to do this, it's on YouTube. It's definitely worth the watch. It's absolutely beautiful. Ahmed Mutaba versus Rahul Raju, right? This was a counter right from hell, by the way. This was, like, literally right on the money and literally put his lights out. I mean, wow, man.
Mate, it was a sensational knockout. As you say, counter right, come down the middle, man. His knees just fucking went. His legs were just totally gone from underneath him. I don't think there was any need for the follow-up punches, mind you. I think it happened on his way down, then he tried to smash him with one when he was basically dead on the deck. But, class knockout. Definitely one you could possibly put in there as a...
KO of the year.
At the moment, anyway, so far, it would definitely be within a kind of conversation type thing.
Yeah, definitely go and dig it out, guys. If you can't remember his name, check the one championship card from the weekend. It's Ahmed Mutaba. Absolutely super, man. Love a one-punch knockout and folded him up like a deck chair, man. It was absolutely beautiful. Anyway, that was really be better because we've seen a couple of things at the weekend, wanted to kind of chat about it. Right, let's move on because there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds to talk about. Right, this weekend we have UFC 258. Now, I looked at this card, mate, and I wasn't that impressed, but I changed my mind. I'm well impressed with this, to be honest.
Do you know the thing I'm a bit worried about?
Yeah.
In touch with Disney happen. This is a pay-per-view. If Usman Burns falls off this, and you had to pay for this as a pay-per-view, you'd be extremely pissed off.
Yeah.
I think that's something maybe that's really disappointing. I think, especially at this point, maybe... No offence to the girls, so it looks like Macy Barber, Grasso's
co-main.
You're not going to have that as a headline event of a pay-per-view if something was to happen to those two guys. So, and especially when you've got three title fights coming up on a card. Is it next month, three title fights? March?
I think so.
I think that's maybe the only thing. For us, it doesn't make any difference because you don't need to pay for us. But from an American point of view, I'd imagine that if something was to happen to Usman Burns and it fell off and you still had to pay to watch the rest of this card, you'd be pissed off. But on saying that, the rest of it's pretty fucking class.
That's the thing. It's a good fight night card, mate. See if you take the top fight off, right? See if you take Usman Gilbert Burns. It's a very, 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 very good fight night card, mate. There's some seriously good fights on this card. Like, no joke. But as you say, it's maybe just not quite there as a...
It misses what I think if you had one more fight on this to set it up, I think it would just be ideal as a pay-per-view. I just think it just falls slightly short of what a pay-per-view should be for me, and especially if Burns and Usman was to fall off, that would be fucking devastating. It really would be.
Yeah.
But there's such good things in this, man. Vieira Hernandez, Bobby Green, Jim Miller... Pedro Munoz, Jimmy Rivera, Gastelum versus Ian Heinisch. Oh, mate, there's just Diego Lima versus Bilal Muhammad, Ricky Simon versus Ricky Brian Simone. Kelleher.
Yeah.
It's a really good fight night card, as you would call it, mate. It really is.
Yeah. I agree, mate. I agree. There's loads of stuff on this. It's just the sleeper. I mean, Bobby Green, Jim Miller is a class fight. Rodolfo Vieira as well. I love watching Rodolfo Vieira. Big guys at grapple, man. Love it. And I say Ricky Simon, Brian Kelleher's brown. Brian Kelleher's on an absolute tear, and Ricky Simon's always just, we know Ricky Simon's brown. Even the first fight, Jill Robertson, Miranda Maverick's brilliant as well, mate. So the whole thing's, there's loads and loads of good matchups on this. And I think that if you love your MMA, you'll absolutely adore this card. There's a lot of good matchups on it, and then obviously headlined by the type of fight we should have got last year. I can't wait for it, mate. I actually can't wait for this fight.
I can't wait to see how it goes. Obviously, it's two guys who have got a very grappling-dominated background. Usman means wrestling and Burns with his jiu-jitsu, but that's not going to harm.
No, standing bang, probably.
They'll have to, because I think Usman, as good as a wrestler as he is, you got to take a chance with Burns on his back. Or no, you're not going to do that. You'd be daft to do that. Then again, the two of them trained with each other for God knows how long. So they pretty much probably know each other inside out. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see how this one goes. I think it's a fascinating matchup. It's just, It's so interesting. Can't wait for it. Honestly, this is an absolutely sensational main event. I cannot wait.
Give us your early prediction and go for it. You've also got time to change your mind. But the new 5 days out, what you got?
Burns on point. I said Burns on point. I didn't mean that. I mean Esmond. But if I've said it, I might need to go with it. There you go. Burns on point. So fuck it.
Yeah, I think Burns will win too. I think Usman might tire, because I think Usman tired against Colby in that. He didn't look very, especially against Woodley. He was horrendous against Woodley. He tired. I reckon he'll tire. And anyway, we try and grapple Burns, and Burns will submit the fuck out of him.
But saying that, my initial thought was Usman in points. I was just thinking maybe Usman would grind him down a bit like he did Colby. That was my initial thoughts. There was a fraudulent slip there that I didn't mean to come out with, but maybe that's what I really believe would happen. Maybe I do believe Burns will win it. I don't know. Mate, honestly, I could pick either guy. I could come up for reasons why either guy would win the fight, without doubt. And I just can't wait, man. It's just get class written all over it. Arguably two best welterweights in the world going head-to-head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. That'd be good, man. Can't be absolute buzzing for it. But I think Burns as well, baby. I'm not sure how, but I think Burns. That's my pick.
Fair play. You go with Burns. I'll say Burns now, but I'll sat in the fence as well at the same time.
Typical.
Just got a right. Pick up, Mars.
Aye. Right, I'll run through your news, my man.
Yeah, not exactly loads. Few fight announcements. Looks like Cerrone versus Diego Sanchez. Obviously, kind of spoke about. You spoke about Sanchez fighting Que Guida, but that's not going to happen because this is going to be his final fight.
Yep.
So, Sanchez versus Cerrone, that could be interesting. I don't know how that's going to go, especially kind of the way Cowboy last couple of fights have went. So, that could be interesting. Jim Miller, Bobby Green, obviously that got added. That was quite a late addition. Sean O'Malley versus Thomas Almeida has been in the works for 260.
Yep.
Decent fight, but I don't know. I just feel what I want to see Sugar Sean get a bit more something. I don't know what.
Well, he had his chance and he got pumped, didn't he? So.
Aye, well, he did pick up an injury, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. That'll be a good fight anyway. Sadiq Youssef versus Arnold Allen has got to be the fight announcement of the week. Unbelievable. Oh,
that's a new feature right there.
What, fight announcement of the week?
Fight announcement of the week, mate. That's a fucking new feature. I like that one. Fight announcement of the week, Sadiq Youssef versus Arnold Allen. When is that for?
April 10th. I just think that is get fucking fireworks written all over it, man. The two guys like to go at it. The two guys are so, so good. I cannot wait for that fight. I really do. I think that'll be... That's the same night as Vittoria versus Darren Till.
Nice.
So, unbelievable, mate, what a fight that is. Fair play to UFC for getting that one made. We'll go with, there was a few fighters released. Spike Carlisle got released, Rhys McKee got released. There wasn't really any massive names. There was any kind of shocks within that kind of list.
Who was the one? I thought Antonio Carlos Jr. was a surprise.
I feel like he flattered to deceive me. I think he proved that in his last fight. I think because he's maybe his record and stuff like that, you could maybe say aye, but...
Yeah.
I can maybe see the point with that, but as I said, a few fighters got released for UFC. I don't know if that's maybe the start of a big call, because they've released a few, but they've not exactly released tunnels, have they?
No, coming back, she's odd, I'd imagine, mate. That's the thing. So it's always the building up for more, you know.
Yeah, I know, man. It'll be interesting to see if anybody else gets released. We'll finish on Bellator. To be honest, there's fuck all. But we have got a date, which looks like their return date will be April 9th.
Oh, that's a bit long, isn't it?
I know. So we're starting a couple of months for Bellator return. Seems a bit mental, to be honest, but that seems pretty date. There's also apparently a big announcement tomorrow coming for Bellator. I'd imagine there'll be a lot of fight announcements, maybe title fight stuff like that being announced in different bits and pieces. So that's happening tomorrow. They just called it special announcements. to be made. So we'll wait and see what happens tomorrow with Bellator. And apart from that, it's a lot, my man. I think that's that. I don't know if there's anything else.
Nice. Nicely done, my man. Well done. Congratulations.
Oh, some breaking news.
Go for it.
Quite literally. For UFC 258 this weekend.
Yeah.
Andre Yule versus Chris Gutierrez has been added.
Oh, well, I thought we were going to make it some sort of big news there, man. Jesus Christ.
It was breaking. I'm just telling you. I never said it was good or it was massive. I just said it was
breaking. To be fair, that's actually a really good fight. That's the guy who kicks a lot, Gutierrez. Yeah.
I think it actually is a good fight, mate. There's definitely a good matchup in that. They've done that well, to be fair.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, as always, for the news, Mr. Mark. And I like your new feature, fight announcement of the week. You need to come up with your fight announcement of the week every week. Hopefully, your job.
Hey, okay, I'll do that.
Right, guys, that's us for another week. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate the love. Do us a favour, if you do listen, send us a message or drop us a comment on Twitter. It'd be nice to know if people what people think when they listen. We've honestly, after 2.5 years doing this, never really had much feedback. We had a couple of things said here and there, but it'd be nice to hear from you guys. We're open to criticism as well, so just don't be rude, be polite, but you can criticise all you want. Listen, we do it because people listen, so we do it for you guys. We thank you very much, and have a good week, and we will catch you next time.